Yeah, lost in the supermarket indeed. Tough week out there on the waiver wire, folks. Welcome back to the Rotobomb podcast. Pete Davidson here, as always, on a Tuesday, so it's waiver wire day. And we are definitely lost in the supermarket, man. It is tough shopping out there. No guaranteed personality offered here, but we are going to try to help you a little bit with the grocery shopping. Running back, I think, in particular this week, just, you know, I don't want to say it didn't pop so much as, you know, we've really just sort of worked through the low-hanging fruit at this point. But you know what? We'll do the very best we can to help you guys out. Obviously, one thing that we can sort of pay attention to this week are the evolving things, the things that pop up during the week. So this might be a week to just have a quick trigger finger on running backs that may pop up during the week due to injuries that we don't have a beat on just yet, or midweek injuries, that kind of thing. Now, today's going to be a little bit of a different waiver wire day for me. Just so you know, I am fighting off this cold that I've been dealing with for like the last 10 days. Thought I had it beat, and now it's coming back on me. This is what you get when you don't take any days off. So my better half, being the good woman that she is, has informed me that if I do my typical waiver Tuesday today, she's going to call the divorce lawyer. So at some point, I'm going to try to get a little couch time today. I'm on some antihistamines now, but I'm feeling lucid, so I think we're gonna be okay. But you know, as you guys know, I tend to burn the candle at both ends during the season, and occasionally I'll need to sort of go dark for 24 hours to recharge my batteries. Maybe second half today and part of tomorrow, maybe one of those 24-hour periods. I will do my very best, though, to try to have an online presence today. When I'm done with the wire, I am going to be putting several hours into the article to expand what I did this morning at EEI. The EEI article is up right now. So I'm not, you know, I'm not mailing this thing in. I'm not giving up. I just, I'm not going to be my usual whirling dervish that I am on Tuesdays today. I had to take a little film time off yesterday, believe it or not, which is rare for me and unfortunate. But it's not that we want to get too deep into what's going on with Pete, but it's important that I take care of myself in these earlier weeks, because you don't want things to, you know, you don't want the doors to fall off, the wheels to fall off, excuse me. So definitely going to try to find some time over the next, say, 48 hours to get a little rest, to get myself back in gear. But I will definitely be putting in some time in the waiver wire today. I will definitely make some time, tonight, for questions that might come through on Twitter. So just, you know, normally I'm up till about 10. It might be a little earlier tonight, just so you know. And you know, it's not like there's nothing to do on this waiver wire today. There's plenty of guys to talk about. It's just that, you know, in truth, and this is not me patting Rotobon on the back here, this is just a lot of the targets that we set out in weeks 1, 2, 3, and 4, they've hit. So really, apart from our guy Paris, my guy Paris, who unfortunately has got that abdominal thing, I mean, most of our younger players, our rookies, our stash guys, most of those things are working out. So, I mean, I've just noticed this from talking to you guys online. When you guys show me your benches with screenshots, I'm like, first of all, this is great. All of our Rotobon guys are on the benches, which I love to see. But it's hard to make cuts on a lot of our teams because we've done so well fattening up. So hopefully you guys are in good shape. Hopefully you took my advice over the last couple weeks to sort of balance out what's on your bench to get you through your bye weeks and stuff. But if you've been following this podcast all year, you're probably in pretty good shape overall and on your bench. So hopefully that's the case. But be that as it may, it's not like we're taking week 6 off. So let's go through this thing. Normal deal. We're just going to go position by position here. We'll try to get you out, you know, I like to say 30 minutes or less, but we haven't been able to do it just yet, but hopefully we'll be able to do that. A couple easy button ads that I've got on the waiver wire for the Rotobon. I mean, Jalen Samuels is still, even after the dreadful game he had last week, you got to have that guy rostered. Michael Gallup looked good. He's going to look even better once that knee fully heals. He's available in far too many leagues. Chris Thompson, Robbie Anderson, Kenyon Drake, Golden Tate, DK Metcalf. If you guys need any advice as to why they're easy button smashes, hit me up and I'll explain it to you, but it's all pretty obvious. You know, Samuels, Gallup, Thompson, Robbie Anderson. We've been through that a million times. Kenyon Drake's now got this gig. It's ugly. They're always going to be chasing. He should be a good PPR back every week. Golden Tate this week should be the lead receiver for the Giants with Sterling Shepard down with a concussion, so he's a no-brainer. And DK Metcalf, at this point, has really just shown touchdown scoring ability. You can put him in as a third receiver in your fantasy team pretty much every week. Okay, let's get down and go through the quarterbacks. I'm going to start off with Sam Darnold on the Jets. As I say, maybe not for this week, and it's possible he doesn't even play this week, but I love the Jets' second half schedule. It's all going to come together for them. And for Jet fans, you can see it happening. I mean, it's just typical gangrene poetry. Let's kill the season, and then let's play great football. That's how the Jets do it, man. Let's get, you know, 1-3, 1-4, 2-5, 2-6, whatever it is. And then let, you know, they play like a Super Bowl team in the second half. So the Jets are just set up to be themselves once they've completely torn their fans' hearts out, which they've been doing like clockwork for the first 5 weeks. They will do the typical Jet thing and like save the bad coach's job with a good second half. It's what we do in New York. So I'm buying into that fully. Sam Darnold's a pickup, as are all the other Jet skill players that have been dumped. Darnold changes everything because he's so much better than the people playing behind him. He makes the offense work. He gets the ball out a little bit better. And he's able to stress the defense on the perimeter. He's able to stretch the defense down the field, which keeps them from run blitzing and loading up. So everything changes the minute Darnold is on the field. And I think it's important for us to understand that. Spending a lot of time on him here, not because I want you to pick him up, but because I want people to understand that Jamison Crowder, Robbie Anderson, Chris Herndon, these are guys who are going to be better going forward. Obviously, Herndon's now going to exist. He's been on suspension. And also, you know, Le'Veon Bell, he's a player to trade for. Right now, Le'Veon Bell owners are going, oh my God, what did I do? Guess what? After this week, when the Jets get to about week 8, Le'Veon Bell's going to be a top 10 back over the second half of the season. You can just, unless he gets hurt, you can put that down in ink. You heard it here. So I think Le'Veon Bell's a great trade target if you can get the right deal. All right, moving down to Cousins, who's not a guy I like for the rest of the season because, you know, I've been through this a bunch of times. The coach is sort of an asshole or just, you know, idiot, close-minded, whatever you want to call it. But Zimmer, I don't know, maybe last week was an example that when they see an opportunity to throw to win, maybe they'll take it. Maybe this something could be different going forward. But even in this game, they only threw 27 passes. So it's just really hard to get excited about the Vikings and Cousins. They don't really believe in the guy. They want to be a run-first team. Sometimes you just have to trust people when they tell you what they are. That's what they are. And the Vikings are going to be a run-first team. That said, this week, it's a similar matchup for them. You throw to beat the Eagles or you don't beat the Eagles. Now, Zimmer, he's sort of a douche, sort of an asshole. I'm having some fun with this. I mean, I don't really have a problem with Mike Zimmer other than him being too close-minded. But the bottom line is he's not a stupid man. In fact, he's a smart football coach. And they're going to look at the film. They're going to look at the roster. They're going to see that the Eagles can't be run on very well, but you can pass on them all day. So they'll continue to run, don't get me wrong, because they're the Vikings and, you know. But this is a week where you'll probably see most of Dalvin Cook's really good production come as a receiver, and I think you'll see the Vikings throw more than they're going to throw in a typical week. So for a one-week ad, I do like Kirk Cousins. Gardner Minshew, he's been a staple on the wire for the last couple weeks. Same reasons as always. Good, solid pickup. Not so much for this week, but for the good matches he has going forward. Teddy Bridgewater, same kind of thing. He's not going to be your rest of the season guy because Breeze is going to come back. But in good matchups, as I've been saying, he can get it done. And we really saw that last week. And again, if you listen to me and traded for Michael Thomas, you're welcome. Andy Dalton, positive matchups. He's going to be playable. Obviously, the fact that he doesn't have that third receiver is a big deal. It takes some of the upside away. So he's really a mix and match streamer at this point. Same kind of thing for Kyle Allen. But Allen has showed that when the matchup is right, he's got enough weapons. And because, you know, it's funny, he's really a short range quarterback. But when you've got Christian McCaffrey, that's not necessarily an awful thing, right? So Kyle Allen's viable. I will probably add another quarterback, maybe two, for the final wire, so you can look for that. Let's jump over to the running backs. And really, there's not a lot to say. you know, Chase Edmonds is like a, you know, a smash button ad if David Johnson's not going to play. His back locked up on him. Now, as somebody who suffers from back stuff, sports-related problems, I've fought through a lot of back stuff. And when it locks up, that's not always a big deal. A lot of the times that's just like a momentary, not momentary, but it's the kind of thing you can usually beat in a couple days if you get the right kind of rest. So, you know, this could be a medication and rest, and Johnson's really good as gold by Friday. You know, we'll just sort of have to see how this thing goes. You know, but really, if running back is your position this week, you just add Edmonds and pray, because, you know, it sounds like there's a chance that Johnson won't go. It also sounds like there's a chance that he could be limited, you know, maybe to protect him from a back problem becoming a season-long thing. Edmonds could be a 35% snap proposition this week. So there, I think there's that element as well. Bottom line is, I think Edmonds probably your best bet for running back value this week, even if Johnson ends up playing. So I think he's the guy to go after for this week. For Johnson owners, dear God, you should already have this guy on your team. If you don't, go get him now. Just go get him. Jamal Williams is the next guy up. And he should be back this week. Obviously, that whole thing was pretty ugly, but it really is just the concussion at this point. He's had enough time. He should get through the protocol this week, and he should go back to getting, you know, 30, 40% of the juice. I mean, you know, if LaFleur wasn't sold last week, off of last week, that Jones needs more, I don't know what to tell that idiot. I'm guessing that even with Williams healthy, Jones is now going to go to a more 65-35 thing. I mean, really, they're out of their minds if they don't make that happen, but we'll see. But either way, I mean, they're clearly committed to making sure Williams gets some touches. So this is a week where he's a guy, especially in deeper leagues. You need a body to throw in there. He's a guy. Alexander Mattison, next guy on the list. Same kind of thing. You could throw him in, and you might get lucky for a touchdown. You probably get 30 to 40 yards. But his real value is as a stash or as a handcuff. You know, and again, if you're a Cook owner and you don't have Mattison rostered, man, I don't know what to say to you. But just do it. Just find a way to do it. You don't want to be caught having to go out and buy Mattison after a Cook injury. You probably won't have the money unless you've held on to all your money. And in some leagues, it's waiver priority. You'll just be shit out of luck. Rex Burkhead, next guy on the list. Obviously, we're hoping that he gets back from this foot thing. But assuming he does, you know, he's had a decent role. And on a week like this, he'd be a heck of a pickup. Jonathan Hillman for the Giants. It's really a short week thing here. It sounds like Barkley's not back yet. And now let's think about that, right? Everybody saw the footage of Barkley last week, and he looked real good. And he clearly is not in a place where he can't play on the foot. But it was a high ankle. And if you look at what he was doing, he was jumping really high into the air, landing, did some quick little cuts and stuff like that. He's clearly pain-free in terms of impact. But when you cut and lean, and especially when you're cutting out, what is it? Yeah, outside in, those high ankle sprains on the outside, really, you feel them, trust me. So, you know, with the short week, it may just be a matter where the Giants know they're not a playoff team this year. They don't want to do anything to really mess Barkley up. I would say if it was a playoff game, he'd be out there. But the thing is, the hard cutting are what's going to be giving him a problem right now. You know, look, I have a couple Barkley teams, and yeah, I want him to play too. But if you're the Giants, if he's feeling anything laterally right now, shut him down. Don't let him play this week, because now you've got the long break. And he'll be really, you know, in week 7, he'll be good to go, and we'll all be getting him back early still. And that's really probably the way to go if you're the Giants. Now, listen, if he's totally pain-free and he can cut, you go play him. You know, we'll find out more. But it sounds now like he's not going to play, which makes Jonathan Hillman quite the ad, because Gallman's in concussion protocol. No way he gets back in a short week. You know, now the Giants will probably add another body that could change the calculus, but right now Hillman could be an every down back, and arguably he could be the back to add if the only thing that matters to you is a body for this week. Adrian Peterson has a great matchup this week. I think that's the reason to consider him. And that's really it for the running backs I have on the short list right now. I will add a bunch of handcuff guys later, and I'm going to scour for maybe a couple other ideas, see if I can come up with anything. Maybe I missed something. You know, I've been up doing this since about 5:30. And sometimes when I start that early, I miss some things in my early process. So I'll go back and rescour Yahoo's ownership rates. I'll look at some other waiver wires, see if anybody came up with an idea I may have missed. But running back is tough this week. It's just tough. So hopefully you've got Ronald Jones already, and you can sort of go there or something else along those lines. Let's get down to the receivers, which also are not particularly fat. And starting at the top... I hate starting with Jets, but hopefully I can go. And, you know, actually, I may have a couple guys over the Jets once I go through and add some guys with higher ownership rates for the final wire. I have to look at the Titans guys. Although, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be putting the Titans guys ahead of the Jets guys anyway. Crowder at this point, I don't know why so many people dumped him. I guess, you know, some people just don't look forward. But I think Crowder's going to be a really good PPR play, really right there with Cole Beasley, but with more touchdown upside. And again, the Jets are just going to play better football. I've already mentioned this. So Robbie Anderson, 64% owned. I threw him in there just in case. I mean, I don't want to go too crazy here. This guy could be ranked tightly inside the top 20 receivers every week, 2 or 3 weeks from now. Like, he could be that good. So just get him. You could dump later if he doesn't work out. But, man, there aren't a lot of guys with his type of ceiling out there on waiver wires. I would be grabbing Robbie Anderson anywhere I could. Mohamed Sanu, a guy I just... It's not that I don't like Mohamed Sanu. It's just that he's always sort of in the way. But he's one of those guys who's good at football. He just isn't great in terms of athleticism. And when I say athleticism for Sanu, I'm talking about speed and quickness and stuff like that. In terms of football skill, he's really high. I mean, that's what he's good at is football. He runs tight routes. He catches the ball. He can do a lot of different things. The other underrated thing about Sanu, which, you know, people don't talk about because we're fantasy players, but he's really good in terms of throwing, you know, illegal screens and stuff like that, but not getting called. He's a really good rub route guy. So how do we really value Sanu? It's tough because the better things go for the Falcons, the worse they tend to go for Sanu. You know, he tends to, when they're having trouble, his slot role gets him targets, and that's happened the last couple weeks. He's looked real good. You know what? I have no problem adding him and playing him this week as a third receiver or a flex. Just don't add him with the idea that this is going to continue sort of unabated throughout the season. I don't think it will. I think he'll turn back into Sanu at some point. But for now, during the bye weeks, while he's hot, ride the wave. I got no problem with that. Next guy on the list is Deontay Johnson. And I think... See, Sanu probably worth more right now. Deontay, to me, worth more rest of the season once the Steelers figure out what's going to happen at quarterback for the bulk of the season. So I like Deontay Johnson better. But really, for this week, with, you know, dear God, you know, the Steelers are just beaten up to hell at quarterback. You know, it's a little dicey. Cole Beasley with the Zay Jones thing, I think he's now locked into that role we've seen him playing. He didn't have a great week last week, but I really think he's going to be a 5-catch guy on most weeks. I also think that the upside will start to happen. Cole Beasley is not a guy who can't make a big play. He actually can. I just think, you know, once he gets more in sync with Allen, we'll see some of that. And the Bills now are tightening things up. Moving Zay Jones is good because it's going to tighten the rotation. And that's when guys start playing instinctively, which is good because it's not like Josh Allen has a lot of instincts. We want him to get sort of tightly in with his guys. I think that will help him, my opinion. Auden Tate next on the list. Again, these are fairly loose in the podcast. I'm not really going in order. I'm going to reorder all of these guys for the final waiver wire. And also, as I say every week, I hope to remember to say every week, I don't put these guys in the order I want you taking them. In a general sense, yes, but you guys play in a lot of different style leagues. Some of you guys are drafting for this week only. Some of you guys are drafting for rest of the season. Some of you guys are stashing for upside. So, you know, unless I'm going to make three different waiver wires, one for each type of ad or whatever, it's hard to just rank these guys in an order. It's up to you guys to figure out which one applies best to your situation. And again, I'm on Twitter. If you're sitting there going, man, I don't know, Pete, you're confusing me here, please hit me up. I'll try to provide some clarity. So again, with Beasley, love him in PPR leagues of all sizes. In deeper standard leagues, he can have some appeal as well. Auden Tate, Was a little bit scary last week, but he finally got the touchdown. He's going to have a role, especially when they're able to move the football. He won't be a non-factor until Ross gets back. So he's going to have that touchdown upside on most weeks. He's sort of like a tight end who has receiver eligibility. Auden Tate's not going to save your season, I don't think, but particularly in deeper leagues, he can be a flex or a third receiver and not kill you. Zay Jones, this is a tough one because I've always been sort of like on both sides of the Zay Jones thing. He's very much like Deshaun Hamilton or Tyler Boyd to me. He's a technical receiver. Now, oddly enough, that hasn't really been his calling card as a pro. He's been swimming here and there. He's had some issues with his hands. But I really don't think that's going to continue to be a problem for his career. And I think getting to the Raiders will help him. I think it's a better scheme for Zay Jones. And I think, you know what? He fits with Derek Carr's throwing style. He fits with those short area throws. He's a good guy. In terms of getting open, 10, 15 yards downfield, those intermediate routes and those short area routes are what Zay Jones really specializes in. So I think he's moving into a role where they desperately need places to throw the football. So to me, Zay Jones is a really good add this week, particularly in deeper leagues. Jacoby Myers, Patriots, obviously Dorsett with the hamstring injury. That should move Myers into the top three going forward until Dorsett's hamstring is healed. Now, obviously, we're not getting steady high-end production from Josh Gordon, so it's not likely we're going to get steady high-end production from Jacoby Myers. But depending on the kind of league you're in, and certainly for this week, he's a viable guy in PPR. I think he'll probably catch four balls or something like that. And obviously, he's looked real good within the scheme the whole way through, including preseason. So Myers is a guy to add. Just not sure the length of the value you're going to get. It could be a one-week thing. I haven't heard anything official on how long Dorsett's going to be out. So that's really the factor. Now, I may update this later in the day. If we hear Dorsett's out for a month or something like that, then I will sort of change my take on Myers, and he's a little bit more of a priority add. Coming up, two guys who I think will actually be in front of Myers when I sort this thing. Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, very similar players to add. Parker's got a touchdown now. That gets him a little bit higher. Obviously, he's been in the league longer. But this is just a situation with a team that's going to have to throw every week because they're going to be behind. It's not pretty. Sometimes it's downright ugly. But these guys are going to give you 50-plus yards most weeks. And the scoring can help you out and put you over the top. One other guy I want to talk about, Darius Slayton on the Giants, with Sterling Shepard's concussion, which is his second one of the year, probably is going to knock him out this week and perhaps next as well. Slayton becomes a really nice dart throw. He gets open on deep routes. He's got crazy speed. And he's definitely going to be playing that role with Ingram and Tate working the intermediate stuff. So I think Slayton for this week and perhaps next is a guy you can add and play in deeper leagues. Brian Pringle on the Chiefs. Now, look, there's too many receivers on the Chiefs, so I don't think Pringle has a whole lot of value. But in Dynasty, I think he's a really great add if he happens to be available. And I think in some larger formats, Pringle could be a guy to add this week if you are a Sammy Watkins or Tyreek Hill owner and you want to have a guaranteed play. I think Hill will be back. I think Watkins is more 50-50 with that hamstring. If Pringle is one of the top three receivers, then he's worth playing. And I have to say, I finally got a good look at him the last 2 weeks on some of the snaps that he's gotten. This guy's pretty good. So, he's definitely a guy where, he's a chief. So in deep leagues, just roster him. Leave him there on the end of your bench, and if he ends up being a guy who's going to be a top two or three receiver for them in a given week, you can throw him in there. Let me see here. Some other guys are going to want to talk about Geronimo Allison. Is available in a lot of leagues. With Davante Adams' situation, he could be a guy to add this week. The 49ers receivers have been disappointing, but game flow worked against them. I am still looking to roster Debo, Marquise, and Dante Pettis in all 12-team leagues. A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, particularly Davis, but also Brown, definitely guys I want to roster because when we're going to get decent throw volume from the Titans, these guys are good plays. And I will definitely be adding a couple more receivers to the final wire. So we still have about 5 minutes left here, so let's get into the tight ends. The tight ends actually are decent this week, and I want to get into these guys because there's a couple guys we really want to talk about here. Now, up in the top spot, a guy who I think will be on the waiver wire for the final time this week, Chris Herndon on the Jets. He's going to come back from suspension. And really, you know, unless there's something going on that we just don't know about, Herndon should step right into a primary role. This guy was one of Darnold's favorite receivers last year. And I think one of the things we need to understand about Herndon and Darnold is not just that Darnold targets Herndon, it's that he's shown a willingness to target Herndon when he's covered. He will throw 50-50 balls to this guy. That's a big thing, especially down in the red zone. This guy could end up being a real touchdown threat going forward. And that's important on a team like the Jets, who really don't have one of those guys, right? Unless Demaryius Thomas really turns back into Demaryius Thomas, Herndon's probably the best red zone weapon on the Jets. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Hunter Henry may make it back this week. And, you know, my apologies for not having this guy on the wire last week. We should have been a week sooner on this. But Henry's a guy. Now, he may or may not play this week. He's 50-50, I think. But certainly, I think week 7, if he's not back this week, he'll be back then. So I think for the rest of the season, if you want the ceiling play, I think it's probably Hunter Henry over Chris Herndon. Now, if you're more like, you know, you want to just play it safe, I think Herndon might be safer, because Hunter Henry, as much as I like the guy as a player, I love him as a player, he hasn't been able to give us like anything remotely close to like a long stretch of games played. So, you know, it's been like a lacerated kidney or whatever he had a couple of years ago, and he had like the hip, and then he had the ACL, and now he's got the fractured bone. So, you know, this is a guy who just tends to get nicked up. So, you know, we're counting on him making it back from an injury and then staying healthy. There's a couple things we need to have happen here. But let's face it, Hunter Henry is an elite tight end, and it's proven. So I think probably the guy to go if Herndon and Henry are available is Henry for the rest of the season. But Herndon is not far behind, and I think he'll probably be better over the next couple weeks. Gerald Everett is going to be a really big guy on a lot of wires. He's definitely on mine. And no doubt this guy's been better. There's no doubt about that. And he's a good player. I think Gerald Everett on certain teams could be an elite tight end. But he's going to be the fourth, you know, if he's lucky, option in this offense. I think he's more like fifth, tied for fifth with Higbee, although he's clearly sort of pulled ahead of Higbee as a passing weapon. But look, Everett, I think, is going to have 1 out of 3 games will be a nice game. 1 out of 3 games will be an absolute dud, and he'll have some of those 3 for 30 games. If that floats your boat, by all means, and certainly in a deep league, like a 14, 16 teamer, you could start this guy. But you know, what we saw last week is not going to be the norm. If it is, then either Woods or Cooks is going to end up being a light flex play. You know, we'll see. You know, unless we think Jared Goff's going to start throwing for 400 yards every week. So Everett, you know, Everett's there if you need him. Not a guy that I'm in love with. But, you know, the thing about Everett is, let's be honest, he's a very talented player, particularly after the catch for a tight end. Okay. Next guy up is really my focus this week for tight ends, and that's Josh Oliver of the Jaguars. You know, now, when is he going to come back? We're not 100% sure. It probably will be this week, but there's also a chance it could be week 7. I suppose there's like a outside chance. Maybe he re-aggravates a little. It could be week 8 or something like that. But this guy's been fighting this hamstring since early August. I took him off of most of our redraft boards because it was obvious he wasn't going to be playing soon. Oliver is a guy who absolutely would have been one of my big sleepers if he had not done that hamstring. Love this kid. Now, we know tight ends tend to develop slowly, but a couple things. First of all, Minshew's a good quarterback. We've learned that already. And he's good in the short area. He's good in those intermediate to short throws. That is 100% where Oliver eats. So we've got a nice fit here in terms of QB tight end. Oliver's a tall tight end. That helps him be found by the shorter Minshew. That's a good thing. I'm losing my voice. Excuse me. A little tea there. The thing with Oliver is that he's a pure offensive tight end. Go back and read the rookie reports if you want to know all the little details. But I really like this kid. He popped more as an obscure tight end, really, than anybody I've scouted since Kittle. And then before then, it goes all the way back to Jordan Reed. Now, is this kid as polished as Kittle? No, not even close. Is he as athletic in and out of breaks as Reed? Not quite. But this kid's got a long body. He fights for the football. He's good in terms of short area quickness. He's very good after the catch. So, you know, he could get dinged up again. He could get into a role that doesn't really make him fantasy relevant. There's obviously a lot of things that can go wrong. This is a guy who's never done it before. But if you just look at it from skill set, this kid is sort of like Herndon for the Jets last year, where he's really more receiver than tight end. The difference is this guy's got the size. Herndon had to bulk up a little bit. I love Josh Oliver, particularly in deeper leagues as a stash, okay? I would be stashing him in all 16 and 14 team leagues. If you have deep benches in a 12-team league, I'd be stashing him. Other than that, I would absolutely be paying attention to this guy. So if tight end is a position you need upside at and you can stash, go get him. Otherwise, keep an eye on Josh Oliver. If he starts flashing, go get him before he becomes an expensive player. Dawson Knox, you know, didn't light it up last week, but definitely has a role. I think, you know, Zay Jones leaving helps him as well. Again, it's going to get this thing into a tighter group. Ricky Seals-Jones, still sort of an end of the bench kind of guy to add if you're desperate. Noah Fant didn't do anything last week. He'll be ahead of Seals-Jones, but I definitely think his role continues to grow. You know, Jack Doyle, still a guy you can throw in there on most weeks. Tyler Eifert, still a guy we can use in emergency situations. But really, the guys I want to focus on this week are Herndon and Hunter, if you can get one of them. Herndon and Henry, excuse me. Then Gerald Everett is, you know, a little bit more of a stopgap guy. And then Josh Oliver really is the upside play for me this week. That's going to do it for the tight ends. I will probably add another name or two for those who are desperate in the final wire. And that's really what I'm going to be doing for the next couple hours, is just going through this list and trying to see if there's any other guys we should throw out there. Listen to that truck out there. Yes, I live next to an active road. But yeah, that's going to do it for the pod. I will definitely grind a little bit more today, add some more names. So as always, check the final wire if you're looking to make decisions between players. That's when I tend to really pay closer attention to how I have these guys ordered. And again, if you have any real doubts, hit me up on Twitter. Just try to get to me today, I would say before 9, because I'll probably end up falling asleep pretty early tonight. And it's going to be a normal week here. We'll have lineup rankings on Thursday. As always, they get updated on Saturday. Jim Hackett and I will have a podcast. We record Friday afternoon, goes up very late Friday night. I will have my starts posted at WEEI again this week. We'll have a DFS pod on Saturday, maybe one on Sunday. We'll see. So plenty going on for week 6. I hope you guys are all kicking ass. I had a good week DFS last week. My bankroll's growing. I hope it's been that way for you guys as well. Hey, week 6, we got a long way to go. Fantasy football, baby. So go make some good pickups tonight. Be aggressive. But you know, as I said earlier, it's that kind of wire. Things are, you know, been picked pretty clean. So there's a few guys that really stand out. If one of the tight ends is available, Hunter Henry, Herndon, that's where I probably would be most aggressive with what's out there this week, for what it's worth. Obviously, if you are a David Johnson owner, I would be very aggressive with Chase Edmonds this week. And the rest of it actually is probably, you know, this might be a week to actually just sort of really look at your funds and make some smart bids. Maybe bid on a lot of guys at a low level and see who comes through, that kind of thing. But again, I will be back maybe tomorrow with a short buy low pod if I'm depending on how I feel. But definitely going to be back Thursday with the lineup rankings and all that. So definitely going to have a full week here at Rotobond. And I'm starting to ramble now. So we're going to shut this thing down. That's the Waiver Wire Pod. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time. Should I